Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast covering everything that's happened in the world of PR and communications for the past 7 days. My name is Frank Washcook. I'm the news editor at PR Week, filling in for Steve Barrett this Friday morning. I'm here with Lindsay Stein, our senior reporter covering consumer PR and marketing. Lindsay, how are you today?
Peachy.
Peachy. Good to know. Also, Diana Bradley is here. She's our corporate reporter. How are you, Diana?
I'm great, thank you.
Great. So a few of the topics we will be covering today is Weber Shandwick rolled out a new advertising agency, going to dip their toe into the ad agency water, so to speak, when they officially launched this new shop in January. We'll be talking about an interesting social media campaign that Wendy's, the burger chain, has just debuted. And we'll be talking about progress in the world of advertising and marketing targeting the LGBT community in the wake of this week's historic Supreme Court decision. We'll also be talking about a few different agency acquisitions that took place in the past week. But first of all, let's talk about Weber Shandwick and what they're doing to get a little bit more of the advertising pie. So Diana, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So they are launching a full-service advertising agency called Sawmill early next year. And the firm described Sawmill as being carved from the lineage of Weber Specialty Issue and Advocacy Advertising.
What do they mean by that,
Sawyer
carved
Miller.
From the lineage of?
I think it's probably just taking elements of what their previous advertising shop, Sawyer Miller, was.
And taking a lot of staff, too.
Yeah. And basically the new agency aims to provide clients with services from planning to activation. Services will include creative, account management, strategic planning, production, and paid media strategy. And they'll be working across broadcast, print, social, digital, and mobile platforms.
Mm-hmm. Interesting move.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting move. I think we all remember about a year ago, actually more like a year and a half ago, Weber Shandwick launched MediaCo, which is their content creation group, which has done very well for them, according to their CEO, Andy Polansky. So it's going to be interesting to see how this rolls out.
Yeah.
What sort of work are they going to be doing?
They're going to be basically, you know, providing.
So focus on the broad range of creative activations,
yeah.
As they say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, I think, to see how they evolve as a firm from Sawyer Miller to Sawmill, because, you know, Sawyer Miller is very issues and advocacy focused. You know, of course, they do that work for healthcare.gov and. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Sawmill tries to take on a broader range of clients, if it sticks to the sweet spot, how it goes. So something we will be keeping an eye on. And when is the launch again? Early next year,
it's
right?
It's early next year. I believe it's in January. And Sawyer Miller President Tim Ryan and multi-platform campaign Chief Creative Officer Josh Rose will co-lead Sawmill, and they'll oversee 50 staffers and offices in LA, New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Seattle.
So a significant footprint at the start.
Yeah.
Okay, so congrats to Weber Shandwick on that launch. That should be really interesting, something we will be following. What other interesting campaign to bring everybody up to speed on from this week? Lindsay, tell us about what Wendy's did this week to combat what they're calling a very, was it a vicious fictional epidemic, if we can call it that.
It is. They have a nice tongue-in-cheek campaign, and it is aimed at the cause of barbecue inaccessibility.
And what does that mean?
That there are many towns and cities throughout the U.S. that cannot get good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not one of them.
As an avid barbecue fan myself, I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
So They're offering three new pulled pork items, which are two sandwiches and fries with pulled pork on it. And to do this, they are leveraging celebrities. And I guess like our generation in particular, I was excited
about
the celebrities.
Well, yours,
not mine. You grew up with the Fresh Prince and with Karate Kid.
That's right, I did.
Stop trying to act like you're 90. So,
it's a very feisty podcast. Very feisty podcast.
Carlton. From Fresh Prince, that was his character on the show. Also, he's actor Alfonso Ribeiro and filmmaker and actor Ralph Macchio, also from Karate Kid. And of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I'm sure our production editor Gary McLaughlin would be excited about.
I'm told he's a wrestler. Or he was arrested.
Steve Austin, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had a 24-hour tweet-a-thon where people could tweet at these celebrities, and Alfonso would actually do some barbecue challenges online. And
that sounds exhausting, a 24-hour tweet-a-thon.
Yeah, I don't think he did the full 24 hours. Yeah. He started at 11 yesterday. And then people could challenge their friends by using the hashtag BBQ for America. I think the four is supposed to be for America.
Right.
And, I think it's really very Wendy's of them to do. If you guys remember the pretzel bun bacon cheeseburger love song with Nick Lachey, which was very funny. And then a few years ago, they introduced kind of a twist on the tagline, "Where's the beef?" by saying, "Here's the beef." Mm-hmm. So they're well known for doing this kind of funny.
And who are they working with on this?
Ketchum. Right. And VML. Now, it's very integrated. When I talked to Frank Vamos, who's their event marketing manager, he said it's a very integrated effort, and Ketchum had to tell two stories, one about the new product and then about the fake cause behind it.
And to be clear about this, this is about barbecue inaccessibility and not bacon inaccessibility, as one of us may have said earlier, and that person was me, for the record. So I may have messed up bacon and barbecue, which tells you where my mind was.
I found out today that there's a bacon news site called Bacon Today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Another fun fact for everyone.
Great.
Fun fact.
Okay. So that does not give us much of a segue into any of the next topics, but we'll give it a shot anyway, folks. Oh, and by the way, one other thing on Wendy's. Did you know that Alfonso Ribeiro is on Dancing with the Stars, which I've never watched, but I heard about it. And I heard he actually danced the Carlton on air
the other
night.
And you know what?
Which I wish I had seen.
I know. We could actually, it's all over social media. But it's actually great timing for Wendy's as well. If you think about it, everyone's talking about him, and then they do this campaign with him. So
yeah, it really is. So good for them. And like you said, good timing on the launch. Okay, one other thing to bring our listeners up to speed on is when they announced their earnings for the past 6 months and the past year earlier this week, Next 15, the London-based tech-focused holding company, also announced they bought the content creation agency Story Worldwide. They paid about $6.6 million, or the American equivalent of it, for the firm. So congrats to both of the parties on that. Obviously, it shows that content creation is a bigger part of what agencies are doing, and Next 15 is trying to get a bigger part of it. Story Worldwide has some big clients like Unilever, so it will be interesting to see where they take the holding company from here. Also worth noting that North America reported 12% organic revenue growth in the past year for Next 15. So some positive financial results for them as well. We're going to kick it back to Lindsay now to talk about an analysis she's been working on all week about marketing to the LGBT community and what brands are doing with the latest trends there based on. Go ahead, Lindsay.
So the reason why we chose to do this story this week is because of the Supreme Court ruling or announcement earlier that said they're not going to hear any of the gay marriage cases currently before it. And this follows from last summer when the Supreme Court struck down DOMA. I mean, it's just been a number of things leading up. And more brands and companies have been including LGBT families and lifestyles in their ads and in their campaigns overall. So I talked to so many great people this week. I could have written like a 20,000 word piece, but I was sparing all of you out there. And trying.
How much
to
did you write?
I'm not going to tell. Everyone has to go read it.
Okay.
So
smart.
Anyway, I will highlight some of the interesting things that I did learn. Let's see. When I was talking to Carrie Allen of Conan Wolf, who leads their multicultural practice, she made a good point that you're seeing, like, brands are pretty comfortable now with the Caucasian, good-looking, fit, male, gay couple. And that's pretty, like, you know, it's been in ads, like, people are comfortable using it. And she thinks that the next step is going to be people showing more of the transgender or lower income, you know, maybe black couples or interracial gay couples. And that hasn't really been done yet. It has been done in pop culture. She thinks that's a step forward, like Orange is the New Black. They have the transgender woman Laverne Cox plays on the show. So that is an interesting thing. Also, when I talked to Tom Whitman at Flip, he mentioned that he is a member of the LGBT community, and he goes, including us in your ads is great, but you also have to talk to us, and you have to back up what you say. So basically, you have to have a good HRC score, which is the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index score, and AT&T and GM, both whom I talked to this week, both have 100% on that score, so that's great.
And how do you get a high score there? It's both, it's how you
internal,
treat your employees,
yeah,
basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, like, when I talked to Joe Lamura, I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going to just butcher your last name, Lamuraglia at GM, he's the Broadcast Lifestyle LGBT Communications Manager. He was like, even just looking at my title, he's like, when I go to an event and I'm like, you know, I'm the LGBT comms manager.
Right.
He's like, members of my community are like, oh, wow, you have that? And they've had that for years. And AT&T, she said that she, as being Laura Hernandez, she was saying that they've had a non-discrimination policy in place since 1975, but they didn't start marketing to the community until like 4 years ago, because then they were like, oh, like, we have stake here, we have equity here, you know, like, we actually can prove that we care.
Right. But before, 75 is really progressive.
Yeah, but before they actually did anything, she's like, they did like a year of research because they wanted to really make sure they didn't mess anything up and ruin what they've had in place for all these years. And they actually, just this month, a few days of, like, last week, launched an online campaign with the hashtag Making Your Mark, where they want members of the LGBT community to check in on Facebook or Twitter or Foursquare to locations where they believe that the LGBT community feels welcome and can live freely and is supported. So, yeah, I mean, there honestly are so many issues I could touch on with this
piece. So definitely
piece.
A few good trends there, really interesting. So what if you were talking to somebody who was a skeptic about LGBT marketing, or not even a skeptic,
oh, yeah.
but what if you were talking to somebody who said, who was very progressive on the issue and said, look, it's so mainstream and accepted now, or more and more so, is that kind of marketing even necessary?
Yes,
what
across,
would they say to that?
Across the board, all the people I spoke to said it is still necessary. And they said, yes, like, you know, that question's asked all the time, you know, oh, Hispanic Americans, they're just Americans,
sure.
African Americans are Americans, but that's not true. And I think one of the most, I forgot who actually said it, I should look back at my notes, but it might have actually been Carrie Allen, was saying, you know, this segment, this community hasn't been portrayed in the media really much at all. So, you know, now is there time to be showcased and show, like, this is who we are. And I remember Tom said, who you love is a huge part of who you are. So being able to see that in an ad or a campaign really, you know, speaks to that community and his community. So, yeah, they think it's absolutely necessary. Not to mention, Tom Whitman was saying that the LGBT community, a lot of the members, they spend more. And they're also tastemakers among their friends. So a lot of times people do really take the advice of their friends who are in the community, especially millennials.
Excellent stuff. I'm sure a lot of our readers are looking forward to reading that this Friday. So everybody, that will be published on the website Friday morning, and that is October 10th. That's about all we have time for this week. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will catch you next Friday when we publish our next podcast on PRWeek.com. Thanks again.